Amen.
Please open it again in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We'll pick up at verse 12, where we left off this morning. And we'll read John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Heavenly Father, again, we ask you to bless the reading and the preaching of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would infuse us with your love by your Spirit. And Lord, that you would cause us to love you more and to love one another more and more. Lord, help us to see what it is you have done for us and see that as a great motivation to love one another. We ask that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, listen, in this morning's service, we looked at Jesus' admonition to abide in him and bear fruit. And the way in which we do that, the way in which we abide in Jesus, is by keeping his commandments. And as we continue to work through John chapter 15, Jesus zeroes in on one commandment in particular. And that is the command to love one another. And even though that it's just one command, we recognize that it functions as the summary command as our duty to one another. The whole second table of the law is in this one command, to love one another. As Paul says in Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word or one saying, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when we are called to abide in Jesus by keeping his commandments, we can look at the whole law, yes, but it can also be boiled down to the two greatest commandments. And in particular, Jesus focuses in on this second one here with his disciples. And just like Jesus told us how we are to abide in him, in this passage, Jesus tells us how we are to love one another. But what's more is that Jesus gives us motivation for loving one another. Because let's face it, love is not always an easy thing to do. Loving one another is not always an easy thing to do. In fact, loving someone is sometimes difficult. People hurt us. People disappoint us. People are different than we are. People make foolish decisions sometimes. In our own pride, we may not think they're worthy of our love. And yet, despite how we might feel about someone, the command still stands. Love one another. And so Jesus draws our attention to the various ways in which we have been loved by him. And we can reflect upon these as motivations and encouragements to love one another. Because how true is it that we love because he first loved us? So Jesus in this passage gives us the command to love, and he gives us the how, and he gives us the why. And the main point is this: love one another as Christ has loved you, because Christ has loved you. Love one another as Christ has loved you, because Christ has loved you. And the first thing we need to see is that Jesus commands you to love one another as he has loved you. Verses 12 through 13. Now, this is a subject that Jesus has spoken about before. We saw how Jesus selflessly loved his disciples by humbling himself in chapter 13 when he washed their feet. And how Jesus instructed his disciples to do the same thing. And in that, we were instructed to put one another's interests above our own and to consider each other more highly than ourselves. But here, Jesus commands the highest expression of that love, the laying down of one's life for his friend. And this, of course, is something Jesus will do in just a short while. And it's this kind of love that he requires of his disciples, of you and of me for one another. And although the willingness to physically sacrifice ourselves for another, if the need arises, is certainly intended here, what's in the foreground is the mindset of self-sacrificing actions and attitudes toward one another. It could be as small and as simple as sacrificing some personal comfort for the sake of someone else. You remember me last time when I was preaching on John chapter 13, I talked about how my children would come to the dining room table and pizza would be laid out before them and then examine to see which piece was the biggest. What is love in that situation for their siblings? Well, giving their brother the larger piece of pizza. Giving up some personal comfort or enjoyment for the sake of someone else. It could be things like that. Or it could be the sacrifice of your time and energy to aid or assist someone else. Now, just this past Friday, Roger, Grayson, Sean Matthews, Scott, Julie, and Jaden Decker helped move a friend of Esther Henning. And that took time out of their week. It took effort, energy. And it was, you could be something, sacrifice physical of that nature to help someone. And it could be an emotional sacrifice for someone else who is really struggling in their life. How hard it is sometimes and how much it costs us emotionally sometimes to minister to someone in their brokenness. Having a mindset of self-sacrificing love is to have the intentionality and the willingness to suffer for the good and benefit of another. And this could even be the death of your own sinful attitudes and actions. The putting to death of our own selfish ambition and pride when interacting with others, whether it's a boss or co-worker or spouse or even your own children. Killing the grudge you're holding on to in your heart against someone. Putting to death your anger for the sake of peace with others. Killing yourself. Putting to death your own pride is giving up your own self for the sake of someone else. Now, this kind of love to which Jesus calls us is a love that continually denies itself in every instance, every circumstance, out of concern for another. It is loving as Jesus loved. And as I said already, this is not something that comes easily. It's not something that comes naturally. Otherwise, this would be something that we would see all over the world, in society at large. But this type of self-sacrificing love for other people is not something you find in the culture. You find backbiting, you find bitterness, you find rage and anger tearing down and tearing apart. Is it any wonder why the world is to look at the church and notice we are different? Any wonder why Jesus tells us to love one another and it'll be evident that we are Christ's disciples? Because something is different here. It's supposed to be different here. Because such love flows from the grace of God. However, oftentimes people make it difficult to love them by their attitudes and actions. And on top of this, we're not completely sanctified yet. Or so we're still selfish in many ways and often just don't want to love like this. But even so, we're commanded to do just that. And one of the ways we can promote this kind of love in our own hearts and find motivation to love others, even when it's hard, is to consider how wonderfully we have been loved by Christ. And so John records for us four ways in which you have been loved by Jesus, that by the grace of God will motivate you to love one another. And the first one is that you ought to love because Jesus has loved you by his sacrifice for you. Jesus has loved you by his sacrifice for you. In verse 13, Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down one's life for his friends." And that is exactly what Jesus is about to do for his disciples. And that is exactly what Jesus has done for you. The holy, harmless, undefiled Jesus suffered the brutality of Roman crucifixion to become a curse in your stead. As a substitute, Jesus took your place and was condemned by man and by God so that you would not suffer the terrible and terrifying wrath of God forever. This Jesus, your Savior, the one who was perfected humanity, who never once knew a time in which his communion with his Father had been broken or fractured, willingly went to the cross on your behalf and experienced a broken relationship with his Father, forsaken by his Father, something he had never, ever experienced before, so that you would never be forsaken by your heavenly Father. What wonderful love is this? Allow it to melt your heart. Allow it to fill it with love for God. Meditate on what Jesus has done for you when you find it hard to love someone else. And by God's grace, you will say with the Apostle John in 1 John 2:4-11, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as a propitiation for our sin." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Love because Jesus has loved you by his sacrifice for you. Secondly, love because Jesus has loved you by making you his friends. Love because Jesus has loved you by making you his friends. Verses 14 and 15. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Now, when you think of who God is, how transcendent, how majestic, how awesome, how holy, how powerful he is, it really is an incredible thing that he would call any human creature of his a friend, isn't it? This great and awesome, powerful God condescending and calling you his friend. To be someone's friend implies a closeness and a care and concern for that person. And it comes with a certain level of intimacy that is not shared with others, those who are not your friends. And that's something that Jesus highlights here for the disciples. Jesus had come into the world to preach the truth of the kingdom of God. He talked a lot about what he had come to earth to do, to usher in the kingdom, to give himself as a sacrifice for his people. He revealed the will of God to the world. Yet to the disciples, he made known these truths in an effectual way. By his grace, his disciples began to see and perceive and truly know what it is that Jesus was speaking. True, they didn't ultimately get it until the Holy Spirit came upon them and illuminated their minds to see everything. But bit by bit, piece by piece, by the grace of God, the disciples began to see and know who Jesus was, so much so that they could confess through the mouth of Peter, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And as believers here tonight, you who abide in Christ through faith-filled obedience, you are friends of Jesus Christ. He has established a close relationship with you that the world does not know. As your friend, he helps you in your times of need, comforts you in your times of distress, protects you in your danger, rebukes you when you are in error, and reveals to you the truth about himself. Jesus is not some mysterious deity far off somewhere, but he has come to you by his Spirit, and he enlightens your mind to his will so you can understand what His Word teaches. Now, what a marvelous thing it is to be friends with and to have a relationship with the King of the universe. One who has an ever-ready ear to listen to your cries for help in your times of need. Let such a love motivate you in your love. Love because Jesus has loved you by making you His friends. Thirdly, love because Jesus has loved you by choosing you. Jesus has loved you by choosing you. Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." Well, the truth that Jesus wants His disciples to understand is that their relationship with God was one which He initiated. He was the one who chose them to be in a relationship with Him. He's the one who turned them to Himself. They did not have the wisdom or the power or the ability to create that relationship. Jesus brought them to Himself. And we must remember the same thing about our lives and our relationship to Christ. He chose us. He purposed to save us. He determined to turn us from darkness to light. And we love because He first loved us. And what is important to see here, and what magnifies His love all the more, is that there was nothing good or worthy in us to cause Him to choose us. There was nothing righteous about the disciples. There was nothing outstanding about the nation of Israel, but His love was set upon us and upon them anyway. Listen to what God says of Israel, and ultimately of you in Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8. "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you." So despite being wholly unworthy of love, you were chosen to be brought into fellowship with Jesus, your Savior, that you might be set free from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin in your life. As Paul says in Ephesians 1:4, you were chosen to be holy and blameless in His sight. So not only have you been chosen to be apart from anything good in you, but you were chosen so that you would become perfect in Jesus Christ, so that your fruit would abide forever, as Jesus says. What amazing love this is. What a motivation to love Him and to love others. And what a motivation to love those who are especially unlovable to us for one reason or another. God's love for you was not based on anything in you. So do not allow your love for others to be conditional upon anything in them. But love because Jesus has loved you by choosing you. And finally, love because Jesus has loved you by giving you access to the Father in prayer. Verse 16 again, "That whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you." And Jesus reiterates the incredible privilege the 11 have, which Jesus has given to them. Open and ready access to God the Father, and the confidence that they will be heard by Him. What religion in the world promises such a close relationship as this? What other God is there who listens to the prayers of men and answers them? In which other heavenly or earthly throne room can a man enter at will with confidence and boldness and expect to have a hearing? Because of the love of Jesus, you may speak to the Lord God Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, sustainer of all things, because of the love of Jesus Christ. Because of that love, praying in His name, that is praying in a way that's consistent with Christ's character, results in the reception of your requests. And particularly in this context, the request for spiritual fruit in your life. When you come in the name of Jesus and ask the Father to change you, to make you more like Jesus, to produce spiritual fruit in your life, the Father hears and the Father grants you that request. How we have taken such love for granted and counted it as a small thing in our Christian lives. But if we think deeply about it and see the true privilege and power of prayer to God, we shall be convinced that this is a precious gift that has been given to us by Christ. A gift of love that can and should motivate us to love Him and love one another more. And so we love because Jesus has loved you by giving you access to the Father in prayer. Now, despite the difficulty you may or may not find in loving others sometimes, the command still remains the same. Verse 17, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Verse 12, "Love one another as I have loved you." And the kind of love with which you're to love is a self-sacrificing love. The kind of love modeled after the sacrifice of Jesus for you. And however difficult it may be for you to love, I hope that by the grace of God, the things that we looked at briefly this evening will motivate you all the more to love one another. And so whenever you're faced with loving someone else, however difficult it may be, stop and reflect upon these truths. Stop and reflect upon the fact that Jesus has loved you by sacrificing Himself for you. That Jesus has loved you by making you His friends. That Jesus has loved you by choosing you to be one of His own. And that Jesus has loved you by giving you access to God Almighty in prayer. And so as a result, love one another as Christ has loved you, because Christ has loved you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the love that You've shown to us. And we pray, Lord, that You, by Your Spirit, would cause it to abound more and more in our hearts toward You and toward one another. Lord, motivate us by Your Spirit in this grace. Motivate us to love one another, to care for one another, to consider one another more highly than ourselves. Give us the same mind that was in Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, let's close by singing Psalm